essence of it is the overriding principle is, you know, we get it from British common law. The king is immune from a suit. It's called sovereign immunity. You can't sue the government unless you have its permission. And so here we have permission in the form of Section 1983, which is a civil rights law that allows individual citizens to sue state and local government officials for violating their constitutional rights. So that's an exception, but that exception has so many limitations on it. And there's a corollary to federal employees called constitutional torts, Bivens claims, which we probably at some point talked about here on Legal Loop. It is very complicated, and here you seem to have a very, very outrageous situation, which, according to what I've read about this case, has received a tremendous amount of local publicity in the Albany, Georgia area, where a forensic accountant apparently uncovered what he thought was evidence of fraud and sent anonymous letters to a series of people. The county prosecutor then, who was supposedly politically connected to the hospital, proceeded to come after this accountant with a series of false, made-up charges, perjured testimony, searches of his email and telephone records, and really a campaign to destroy him. And you say, well, shouldn't you be able to do this? But not in the opinion of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and which said essentially that the prosecutors had either qualified or absolute immunity for just about everything connected with this matter.
So what is the Supreme Court likely to say? I mean, it's enshrined, I believe, in the Constitution, isn't it, to sovereign immunity?
It comes under sure, it's a statute, but it basically protects constitutional rights. So what you have is this concept called qualified immunity that there's a series of Supreme Court decisions on it, and it basically says that if you were acting in the good faith belief that what you're doing was right, and if the law that established a violation of rights was not clearly established, then you could receive qualified immunity. The court, the 11th Circuit Court, found that the prosecutor, the county prosecutor, a person he appointed as a special prosecutor, and the investigator in the prosecutor's office were all acting with the prosecutorial function. And therefore, because they were prosecutors presenting a case to the grand jury, they were absolutely immune. The petitioner, the accountant, is arguing that, no, they're not absolutely immune. They are only entitled to qualified immunity because the investigator in the prosecutor's office was acting as a complaining witness. And there are a series of Supreme Court cases that say that if a police officer goes to a grand jury and acts as a complaining witness, that police officer is entitled to qualified immunity but not absolute immunity. And it's actually the law. I mean, that sounds a little complicated and hard to follow, but the law is actually even more complicated than that. That's simplifying it. So that's the issue for the Supreme Court. Are they entitled to qualified or absolute immunity? If they're entitled to qualified immunity, the accountant's lawyers believe they can show that they were acting against not in good faith, and they were acting in accordance with a fairly established law. So the question is, because the investigator was in the prosecutor's office, does he get absolute or qualified immunity?
We're talking with Bill Bransford, a partner at Shaw, Bransford & Roth. And, you know, you started off by warning us it's complicated, and you weren't kidding. So I want to make sure I understand what it is the Supreme Court has to decide. They're not defining qualified versus they're not defining it. They're just saying who is eligible for it.
Well, you never know.
Oh, okay.
What the Supreme Court's going to do, because they're especially arising out of a series of cases involving 9/11 and actions and lawsuits brought by people who are arrested for terrorist activities. The Supreme Court has further defined qualified immunity, and they could use this case to round it out a little bit or add some gloss to it. But the law of qualified immunity and absolute immunity is pretty well established. That doesn't mean it won't be further developed by the court here. So you've got, you know, these are pretty outrageous. This is a really outrageous case, and what these prosecutors did to this individual, if it's true, and the court is accepting the allegations as true for purposes of deciding the law, if it's true, for any American citizen to be subject to three times going to the grand jury, being indicted indicted for felonies that had absolutely no factual basis, accusing him of aggravated assault and burglary against a hospital doctor that the guy had never been even near or anywhere near his home. Completely made up allegations. It's pretty outrageous.
Well, Bill, can the prosecutor's bosses, can the, you know, the Justice Department fire him and then he could be sued?
Well, I think the county prosecutors, I'm not 100% sure, maybe an elected official in Georgia. There's probably some sort of a provision under state law for doing that, and certainly the Justice Department regularly investigates cases like this and may very well be investigating this case. See, the distinction here is the absolute immunity, qualified immunity, only goes to a civil lawsuit brought by the person who believes they're the victim. Does not apply to other types of liability, like a criminal prosecution for violating someone's civil rights. So they can still be subject to that, but that's up to either state authorities or the federal authorities to do.
So it sounds like there's really no recourse until the Supreme Court makes its decision.
Well, there's no recourse for the accountant, for himself to get damages until the Supreme Court makes a decision on this issue. That will be, if the Supreme Court decides that the investigator who testified to the grand jury was not entitled to absolute immunity, I think the qualified immunity defense would be hard to maintain.